Welcome to Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Charney, and today we're going to be talking about Apple rumors, the real world in your cell phone, and a flying drone taxi. So with WWDC coming down the line, it should be here shortly, if not this week, by the time you get it. And so far, it's going to be interesting that there's going to be an update, allegedly, with a MacBook Air and a MacBook Pro with a USB-C. USB-C is the latest USB to come down the line. Now, according to a reliable Chinese supplier, according to MacRumors.com, Apple will be discontinuing their smaller 11-inch MacBook Air to focus on the 13-inch and the new 15-inch model. Now, according to this also, all the new MacBook Airs and MacBook Pro models are expected to be equipped with Thunderbolt 3 / USB-C ports, while the USB-A, MagSafe 2, and Thunderbolt ports found on the existing models will be allegedly be removed. Now, another thing I find interesting, according to a Taiwanese website, DigiTimes, is reporting that Apple will be shipping a new ultra-thin 13 and 15-inch MacBook. I don't understand the ultra-thin, because I thought that was the Air. Because I remember, if you ever watched the when it came out, Steve Jobs put it in a manila envelope. They say it'll be designed similar to the existing 12-inch MacBook, thinner than the existing MacBook Air, which makes it difficult to infer whether the report is referring to a MacBook or the MacBook Air. I don't see them making their MacBooks thinner than the Air, because then why do they have the Air? They would just get rid of it. Personally, I wish they would just put optical drives back in. I mean, I know they sell like an external one, but I just want an optical output, and I really do like MacBooks. And according to this, the 2016 model features will be thinner, lighter form factor, Touch ID, a new OLED touch bar at the top by the keyboard. Now, that's the one that I'm going to be interested in. That doesn't sound like something that's been traditionally Apple. It seems a little too new. If you don't know, Apple generally doesn't, and at least especially true of the iPhone, they don't always put the latest and greatest technology in their phones. And there's a very specific reason why, and I think it's an intelligent reason. The reason why is they want to make sure it works. So what they do is they wait a couple of years, and if it works, all the bugs and kinks get out of it, then Apple gets a hold of it, put their spin on it, they twist it around and put it on their laptops or their cell phones and just make it work, and generally make it work very well from my experience. Now, the touch panel, I'm not sure if it's going to be replacing the function keys, you know, the one that, it says F8 and F9, you know, the one where you can turn the display brightness up and down. If that'll do it, if that's what it's replacing, the interesting thing to me, will it be context aware? Will I be able to open up, say, Photoshop, and those function keys will change to Photoshop function keys? That's the thing I'm kind of interested to see what happens, and I'm not really sure if that will. I don't know if Apple will actually let you do that. Another thing we're going to be talking about right now is iOS 10 is coming down the line. It's supposed to be allegedly announced at the 2016 WWDC. Now, according to MacWorldCo.uk, it's going to feature what's called the rootless security system, will make it impossible to jailbreak like iOS 9. If you're not familiar with jailbreaking, what jailbreaking is you're basically rooting the phone. You're basically getting to the base level of the operating system so you can do what you want with it. It's a way so you can install older apps that are no longer on there. You can sideload apps doing that. And you get what's called the Cydia App Store. Now, there's good and bad things about jailbreaking. Jailbreaking lets you do things that the phone was never really designed to do software-wise from Apple. Like, one of the things Apple will never let you do is what's called Wi-Fi sniffing. Now, what Wi-Fi sniffing basically is a way to tell what Wi-Fi routers are in your area. Like, for example, where I live, there's like 5 or 6 Wi-Fi routers. And so what I use the Wi-Fi sniffers for is to see what channel everybody's on. If everybody's on, so like 256, then I say, okay, I'm going to do like 11, for example, so I'm getting no interference. And that was the one thing I was really disappointed in with Apple, that they're not going to let you do. Now, see, the reason they do that is they want to prevent admin-level users from gaining access to certain file systems on the iPhone, iPad, or Mac Mini, or the Mac. Though it's believed it can be disabled on computer company desktops, Apple has been plugging holes in iOS for years. As much as it sounds like Apple just taking their, you know, taking their toy and going home, there's an actual security reason why they don't want people to jailbreak and they don't want people to do what they want in it. And one of the reasons is it stops nefarious people from being able to install like spyware, adware, or viruses, or just getting your information off of it. Another reason, and I got to warn you, this is a tad bit of a tinfoil hat, so mileage may vary how much is true. Another thing is Apple's been kind of fighting with NSA, FBI, some of the alphabet agencies in the United States government about access to certain things. There was a recent story about unlocking a terrorist cell phone. One of the good things and one of the bad things about this is Apple's going to stop people from being able to illegally hack the cell phone, basically, like I said, like malware or viruses. The other thing about it, it just makes the phone more secure. According to what I've read about the NSA thing, just I figured I would finish the story, is a lot of the times people will, like NSA, FBI, will take the phone to Apple. Apple will dump it. Will basically dump it far as they'll take the contents of the phone, you know, and give it. They kind of have to, honestly. I mean, if they've been asked to. Now, there's a couple of other interesting. Now, Apple's HomeKit is a take on the Internet of Things. Basically, it's everything is technologized. It's, you know, whether it's the like the Nest thermostat, your television, your light bulbs, lets you control that. It makes a smart home. Now, the smart home idea has been around for a long time. There was an episode of This Old House. I think it was Bob Vila, if I remember correctly. And basically did is this house had a bunch of computers in the bottom of the basement, and it would just do different things. The door would open, lights would turn on, you could schedule everything. Like I said, it's been around for a while, and it's only been recently since the smart homes have probably been an actual thing on the horizon without an extreme cost entry. So what do you think? I'm interested in it. And two of the cooler things that I find is cloud voicemail. Apple said to be conducting internet testing of a new feature of Siri, one that allow your virtual assistant to talk to your callers and transcribe your voicemail messages into text. Now that's not new. For example, Google Voice has been doing that for a long time. Google is a little bit ahead in the game on this, and honestly, that's my favorite feature of Google Voice. I love actually being able to getting a text message or a transcription of what the message was. I know it's kind of lazy, but if you just don't have time, or say if you're in a business meeting, and say if you're expecting getting a call from your wife about your son or daughter, for example, you obviously in the middle of a business meeting can't pick up. But you can look at your cell phone, and so if it transcribes your text and you go, you know, you read the message like Billy's okay, it's like perfect. I mean, to me, that's awesome. I love it. And I'm using like the, you know, the okay air quote here. See, according to this, how the new feature will work, apparently when someone using iCloud voicemail is unable to take a call, Siri will answer the call instead of letting the call go to your standard voicemail. iCloud voicemail should be able to relay information to selected callers regarding whether the recipient is and why he or she can't answer the phone. Siri would then transcribe the incoming voicemail as it does whenever the voice assistant is used. Another one is Apple Music is also getting an overhaul. I'll be completely honest, I'm a big fan of Pandora and Spotify, so I haven't really used Apple Music. I used it a little bit when it came out, wasn't particularly impressed with it. Now, the rumor going around is Apple Music's getting a complete overhaul, apparently 100%. It's going to be a simplistic design. We'll put a greater emphasis on making the app bolder and simpler to use. Apparently, it'll even use the 3D touch in the app. I don't have a newer iPhone, so I've never actually used 3D touch. I don't really know how good it is. I've seen it used on the demos. It looks kind of cool. Do you use, what's your music thing of choice? I want you to go to Golden State Media Concepts Facebook page for my podcast. It's GSMC Technology Podcast. And just comment on this episode's link when it comes up and tell me what you think. What's your music, the app of choice? I really do like Pandora. My favorite thing about Pandora is how to discover new music. So I have a jazz playlist. I originally set it to like Coltrane and Dizzy Gillespie, but later on you find amazing people like Sonny Rollins, Miles Davis, Ella Fitzgerald, and that's the thing I like about the most. And I'm a big jazz fan. I mean, I knew about these people beforehand, but I love the selectability of being able to find new artists. Now we're coming up the break, and after the break we're going to be talking about your cell phone and the real world.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back from the break. So this is the thing I'm really interested in, is cell phone apps and companies and everything in between having real world implications. And what I mean is, the first one is using your phone to order food. Now, there's multiple restaurants that let you have apps to do this. Like, for example, one of my favorite restaurants is Chick-fil-A. Come on, I love a good chicken sandwich. You've got to try it. They're the bomb. And I promise they haven't paid for this. So what it is, Chick-fil-A will let you order food, and they'll even let you skip the line. Now, the option isn't available at every restaurant, but the app will show you if the list, if your closest restaurant is on that list. Another one is Taco Bell. So Taco Bell will let you schedule a pickup for any time, save cards to use for payment, customize items on the menu, view nutritional information. Sidebar, the nutritional information, I think if your company has an app, you should have that. Now, personally, the nutritional information, I don't really pay attention to that all that much. But if you have an app, everybody should have that, because honestly, if it's something you're into and you need, I think that's really important. You will find the nearest building. If you do make an order, you can arrange to pick up in store via the drive-thru. That's cool. Another one is almost everybody's favorite burrito joint, Chipotle. And so maybe you want a little bit more than Taco Bell. Chipotle offers an app. You can browse a menu, customize your order, pay using a credit card or gift card, and skip the line. Now, most of the ones for restaurants pretty much order and pick up. You can skip the line, using air quotes. Another one is Subway, one of everybody's favorite healthy alternative. So according to this is I'll just read this verbatim. Walking through the Subway line is akin to taking a trip to a salad bar. But if you know what kind of bread, cheese, meat, and veggies you want, you can order ahead of using the official mobile app. Pay without entering the store, then you will go to inside to get your food. Now, this is pretty much every restaurant that I've seen, and I've looked up a couple apps here besides the ones that are on the list. They all pretty much let you do the same thing. View the menu, maybe the nutritional thing, give you the location of the closest restaurant that'll use the app, and order food. I love the idea of just being able to, you know, say I'm at my house and I want Taco Bell, hitting a couple of buttons, drive the Taco Bell, pick up my food, and, you know, go. I think it's perfect for lunch. And that's what I've used the Chipotle one actually for, is, you know, say if you got a 30-minute lunch and you got to book it because during that lunch you've got to read notes for your meeting, you know, order the food before, you know, at work, get there, go back to work, and then start reading notes. I just think it's a pretty amazing thing, honestly. And the next one is Lyft or Uber. Now, what if you don't know what they are? Lyft or Uber are pretty much, they're taxis. But what it is, it's everyday people who go through a background check. Lyft and Uber both do that. And pretty much what it is you call them, they're a personal taxi. They're using their vehicle to pick you up to take you in your destination. They're called ride sharing. Now, the ride sharing services, Uber and Lyft, both make it easy to grab a ride with your phone. Get where you're going in minutes, and automatically pay for the trip without needing cash or cards on hand. Now, there's a caveat to Lyft or Uber. What they do is, if it's during high traffic times, for example, or times that everybody's really calling Uber or Lyft, they raise the prices. Now, if I remember correctly, they call it demand pricing. So sometimes Uber is cheap. Sometimes Lyft or Uber can be expensive, so mileage may vary on that. That is just something I want you to know. Or call it a regular taxis. Now, some of the major cities like New York, Los Angeles, and I think Chicago, their cab companies use a third-party app of their own. I couldn't find a quick link that explained it. And so basically what it is you say, okay, say if you're on the corner of one, like 5th Street and 6th Street or something. I don't know if any of those streets actually exist. So what it's there. You call it. They come, pick you up, tracks your mileage and all that. I really like this. And the other one, now this one to me is cool, unlocking your front door. Now, there's a couple. There's one called Kwikset. I think it's Kwikset. It's the Kivo Smart Deadbolt. This one right here is probably the coolest. Now, you can do a couple of things. You can give what they call e-keys. So say if you have somebody who cleans your house once a week at 7 o'clock and they're supposed to be there for an hour. You can set it to say, okay, this person will be in here at 7 o'clock for an hour. Basically, they show up, doors unlocked at 7 o'clock. They can go in and out, and if once they go out, the door's locked, say, 8 o'clock. And you can use your smartphone to unlock it, or using a key fob. A lot of cars nowadays come with fobs. I know the Nissan Altima actually is keyless when you start it. So basically, you get in the driver's seat, hit a button, and unlocks it. This does the similar things. What it does is it detects you're near it, and you open the door. And it's got to be a linked key fob. Now, there's another company that does it called Lockitron, and it does basically very, very similar things. This one doesn't seem to be as feature-heavy as the other one. You can basically use your cell phone to unlock it. Looks like you can do schedules. You can control from anywhere. Say if you're on a plane and you're like, oh, I forgot to lock my front door. You know, you can go on using your Wi-Fi at the home to lock it. You know, so it's the other one from Kwikset looks better. Another one is control your house lights. Now, there's bulbs by Philips called Hue and LG Smart Bulbs that let you control your lights. Now, what it is these are actually specific bulbs. The Philips Hues, I think, can color change, and they're like $100 bulbs. They're not particularly cheap. But you can, you know, you can set schedules. You can have bulbs be on. They're smart bulbs. They're pretty cool. I wouldn't mind having a couple. And the other one is called Control Electronic Items. There's Belkin, Wemo, and Lightwave. Pretty much what you do, you can plug in your coffee maker, you can plug in a lamp, and you can turn the lamp on and off. Pretty much once it's connected, you set it up via the app, you can schedule things. So say if there's a lamp by your window and you want it to be on at, say, 9 o'clock at night, and that's when you get home, say, okay, 9 o'clock at night, turn this on. You can have the radio turned on. And this is really cool. Like I said, these are all real world items that can be affected by your smartphone. You know, like I said, I call this the real world and your cell phone. And there's more things coming down the line. For example, there's Linksys routers that you can control using your cell phone. The coolest thing about this is instead of having to go to like 9.2, like was it 9.2.168.1.1, you go in the app, log into it, and you can see who's on it. Say if little Billy or little Samantha is on the computer, you don't want it to be, find the thing, turn off the internet. You can schedule hours when people are going to be, when you can have it available for them. You can see the bandwidth usage. Now, these are called smart routers, and there's a lot of stuff to do it. What I'm waiting for now is, say, like PG&E things, like because they have all these smart meters. I'm waiting for PG&E to let people have access usage so you can see like daily reports on what you're using. I'm waiting for all sorts of stuff like this because this is the day where everything is connected using the internet. There's even stuff to do that with your car. There's something pretty much what it is. It's a Bluetooth connector that goes in your OBD2 port. Usually what it is, it's roughly a rectangle size port, usually to the left or right of the steering wheel. And you plug this thing into it and it's Bluetooth. And you can sync it to your cell phone, and it keeps track of everything. It'll check trouble codes. It'll check your RPMs. It'll check if your car is overheating. I've actually tried a couple. And the one I used, I got as a test unit, had some minor issues, but I think it was pretty early days for that technology. And this is just the future. The future is now. So what do you think? Is there anything that you really want controlled? Like we said in the previous show, would you like your laundry machine controlled? Would you like it to say you dump all your clothes in there and you forget to turn it on and you say, okay, I want you to wash my clothes and I want you to fold everything. Is that something that you would want? The thing I think I like the most is controlled lights. I like the fact, say, if I'm away from home and it's dark and I decide, okay, I want my lights on if I'm on vacation. Excuse me. Say if I'm on vacation, I have it set so one set of light turns on, and say at 9 o'clock, the bedroom light turns on, then this turns off, so you can kind of fool people and think you're home. I like that idea. I like the idea of turning on lamps. I love the idea of like having a programmable coffee machine. But stuff like that's been around for a while, at least on coffee machines. So I really don't know how much use I'd get out of this stuff. The food ordering I actually do use, and it's pretty easy. It's straightforward. It's fun. I've never used Lyft or Uber. The unlocking your door, I don't know. Like I said, I would only use it because sometimes I'm a space case and forget I actually locked the door. So I think that's one time I would actually use it. Now, we're about to go to the break. And then after the break, we're going to be talking about a flying drone taxi. You heard me right.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Now, a flying drone taxi has recently got approval for testing from the state of Nevada in the United States. Now, this particular drone was touted at the CES, the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas, last January 9th, and the flying drone taxi have become a real possibility after getting the green light from the Nevada Institute of Autonomous Systems for test flights above the state. Pretty much what it looks like, if you don't know if you've seen it, it kind of reminds me of a helicopter, and there's no driver. So it looks like what you do, you sit down, you either use your phone or the dashboard and say, okay, I want to go to, so say if you're in Vegas and you're Luxor and you want to go to Caesar's Palace. It's like, okay, go here, enter your credit card, lifts off and flies you there. The fact that the Nevada trial is happening doesn't mean it's going to actually take off. There's definitely some barriers to entry here. Is one being safe. How safe is this? What happens if, say, the system crashes? There's going to have to be some onboard guarantees. Now, this is the one thing that's been for flying cars. The idea for flying cars have been around since the Jetsons cartoon or longer. There was a guy in the 90s somewhere, I think he was in Davis in California, that made some like a hovering car. So this idea has been around for a while. Now, see, to me, this is, I don't know how safe that is. Now, personally, I don't know how much I would actually use this. To me, it's scary. I mean, flying by itself, I'm fine with. I've been flying for years, different airports, done different things. But I'm not sure if I'm ready for a pilotless drone. Autonomous cars, I'm totally cool with because I'll be in this, you know, I'll be in the driver's seat. There'll be a steering wheel in front of me. That I'm fine with, as long as there's a means for me to control it. Now, I'm not a rated pilot. I've never flown anything unless it's on a video game. I'm not quite sure how well this is going to work. Now, this is being tested. So this is definitely one of the things the company who's making this has to prove is it's reliable. It's safe. It can be used on a continuous basis without issues. The one thing I'm wondering on this is what's the maintenance like? What it will do for maintenance? Will they have pods? Say, will this be on the streets of the Strip in Las Vegas? It'll take off, and then say every 1,000 hours, it flies to home base and it works on, then it flies back. There's no real details on this, and this is the part to me that I want to know. I want to know the nitty and gritty. Now, the technology by itself is cool. I mean, it's a big drone. It's enough for it looks like two people to fit in. And like I said, it looks like what it is. It's probably a dashboard-based control system, and you push your destination, and it flies you there. My guess is this is going to be for a city. I don't see you going, say, from Reno to Las Vegas in these. I mean, this would probably be perfect for small jaunts. Say if you're say you're in Los Angeles somewhere and you want to go to Disneyland. Granted, Los Angeles is big, but I think depending on how it's made, you could probably do a fairly large city. Now, I think this is kind of a gimmick, probably a gimmick that will really work, but I'm not quite sure how, like I said, I have my doubts. I really am not sure how much I trust this. I don't like putting my hands, my life in the hands of something that I can't talk to. Now, the next story is something interesting, and technology like this has been around for a while. It's a new robot that creates a 360-degree camera. And pretty much what it is it's a camera on a set of wheels. It's what it looks like. There's two wheels at the bottom, kind of like a Segway, actually. Two wheels at the bottom, there's a pole, and on the top of that is a little bubble camera. Now, what this will be used for is creating virtual environments. Like, especially with with virtual reality being around a little more, this will be perfect for virtual tours. Like, say, for example, you want to do a tour of, like, the Mission District in San Francisco, for example, or, like, a famous part of Chicago or, New York or something like that. You get my drift. What you do is you put this camera thing and you have it just do its thing. You move it along, it records everything, and then afterwards you put on your helmet, and then you're just walking around New York or Las Vegas or wherever. This particular one is not cheap. It's roughly $3,000, but this thing does it all. It's actually, according to the marketing thing I could find of it, creating those images without including yourself. So that's one issue with doing a lot of this stuff is a lot of the times if you're not careful, you're either get in the picture, your shadow will be in the picture. This actually allows you to get out of range and control it and not have you, yourself, your cameraman or whatever involved in it. They say specifically this can be used for virtual reality training programs. I honestly think this is what it would be used for. I think the best thing for it, honestly, would be using it for law enforcement or virtual tours. Law enforcement, I can see this being used specifically. Say if it's like the Super Bowl and they make a whole 3D virtual reality using this thing for the Super Bowl. It would allow the law enforcement to do kind of introductory tours. It would allow them to virtually set up areas where they think they could do security, where they could run in, where they could run out. See, to me, this is something, the best thing about virtual reality, it allows law enforcement and military personnel to do a practice run with not getting the secrets out on exactly and how they're going to secure it, but also kind of let them run through scenarios of something happening. Stuff like this has been around for a while. This is the first thing that's really been is tiny, at least when it comes to the cameras. Now, this is a 360-degree camera. I'm assuming it works kind of like the Google camera on the cars, where it just takes constant like 3D pictures and they stitch it together using software. Now, the robot kit itself comes with a 360-degree camera, comes with a dolly. It comes with the mount. And you can pre-order it right now, but literally, it's $3,000. So this is definitely something you're going to have to be really wanting. Oh, I just thought of another thing you could use this for. Realtors. Say if you're selling a house, and say if the house is, of some decent money. Say it's a $1 million home. Run this through every room. You could have clients put on a pair of goggles, and they could walk around this home without even stepping foot in it. That would be a great service. I've heard of some realtors doing that with drones, by the way. Now, I want to thank you for listening. And what I want you to do, I want you to go on your computer or your cell phone. I want you to go to gsmcpodcast.com. That's gsmcpodcast.com. And I want you to check out some of our other amazing podcasts we have. We have football. We have fantasy football. We have MMA. We have movies. We have sci-fi podcasts. We have a television podcast. I want you to go there, but first, before you listen to any of that, I want you to go to the Technology Podcast, and I want you to click on that. I want you to subscribe to this program you're listening to. Now, you can find us on Apple's iTunes or throughout the interwebs. You can find us under GSMC Technology Podcast with me, your host, Jonathan Charney. I want to thank you for listening to today's program. Now, if there's any stories, tidbits, information, if I was wrong, if I was right, or if you just have a story that you really want me to talk about, I want you to go to Facebook, type in GSMC Technology Podcast. You can find us. I want you to find this episode, which is episode 8, and I want you to comment on there and just kind of tell me what you think. Now, I'm going to repeat myself just one more time. Just in case you get a sidetrack drinking that cup of coffee, I want you to go to gsmcpodcast.com. I want you to subscribe to GSMC's Technology Podcast. That's Golden State Media Concepts. And get a hold of me on our Facebook page. And I want to thank you for listening. On this episode, we talked about Apple rumors, the real world and your cell phone, and a flying taxi of all things. I want to thank you for listening. And have a good day.